going, I don't know what will. Welcome to Conversations with Golden Hawk. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and tonight joining me in a beautiful, lighthearted, and in-depth conversation about our relationship with water is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi, Goldie. Glad to be here. Thank
Glad
you.
Glad you're here. Yeah, you're very welcome. So that was Rain on Me by The Who, and felt very appropriate.
Yeah, really nice.
Thank you. I wasn't sure what song, and when that song showed up, and it's funny because it feels even more appropriate after all of the experiences that I've been going through today with my cat, Dakini, and having a closure ceremony. It was it was a beautiful experience, and it really, love is the nourishment of it's the nourishment of every dimension throughout this entire universe. You know, there's really not a dimension that is not nourished by love. And just so everybody knows, the love that I'm speaking of is not the romantic love we read in novels, or the love of pizza. you know, I wish we had, you know, in other languages, they have, like, I think in Chinese, they have, like, you know, 50 words or 50 ways to express the word love, which at least, you know, shows the depth of what, you know, true love is. 'Cause in my humble opinion, human beings, we don't know unconditional love as a way of being where we are today. I mean, we're in a polarized experience, and unconditional love is not polarized. So, but we definitely get, you know, sprinkles of it. And, you know, I'm going to be speaking about it today, that because for me, one of the times that I got sprinkled with this unconditional love was literally the moment that I knew I had to put my cat down, because it's not about being the right thing to do. It was the time when dignity would do that. And because in all honesty, I personally am a fan and a sole supporter of Dr. Kevorkian.
Kevorkian,
who was helping people, you know, literally like animals, put themselves down because they were in chronic pain. And, you know, this idea that it's against the law to commit suicide, don't even get me started on that. Just don't even get me started.
Yeah.
So, so tonight's show is really it's deep. It's beautiful. It was birthed from Janine. So what I'd like to do is hand her the microphone, so to speak, and so you can kind of tell everybody how it was birthed and you know, get us going, and then we'll discuss, you know. The reflections we got when we, you know, asked the question you proposed. So take it away, babe.
Thank you. Well, it was like 3 weeks, a month ago. You do these just wonderings about things, and I think that Golden Hawk and I have such great conversations that birth out of just, hi, how are you? And next thing you know, we're in these conversations that are just fun and explorative. And so I think it's a couple days before this conversation I had with her, you know, I was thinking about, you know, you hear the facts like we're 65 to 70% water. Now, I've heard that before, obviously. It's not new. But in that moment, it struck me, because I'm such a advocate and a supporter, and it's my own journey, to the more you know yourself, the more free you are, the more centered you are, the more less reactionary you are, you're just present. And so I thought, isn't it, and, you know, and in my books, I love riddles, and I love kind of having fun with questions. And so, you know, this question would be to someone, and they kind of don't know where I'm going with it, but that's the fun of the question. And the question would be, what is your relationship with water? And it, you know, it lends itself, you could go anywhere with that, you know, and probably for me, I'm talking about yes, the practical relationship with water,
okay.
but I also, it's more of the emotional relationship with water. And because it was the feel, like what you know, what comes up for you? What is your relationship with water? Just the question. And then the smile on my part would be, because it's an indication to me, this is my own, feelings and my having fun with journey questions is, well, how you feel about water or what your relationship with water tells a lot about what your relationship with yourself is. Because, and it's just a question to ponder. It's not like a yes or no or a report card question. This is just a fun, deepening exploration of yourself, and then you're on a journey of, yeah, what is my relationship with water? And then ultimately, it's a reflection of what's your relationship with self. Now, I could go on for hours because just even saying that, I realize I said, what you know, it's a reflection of yourself, and if you look in water, you get reflected back to you. So that's kind of fun, right? I mean, that's just something that popped up for me now, and I'm like, God, water can really take you in all these different places. So
definitely.
So Goldie loves the question because it really is a fun self-exploration question. It opens up the door, and you just go where you go, and so in those next few weeks, we said, well, let's just see where this goes. That's a great question. We'll do a show on it when we're ready. So, and that was, Goldie said, so last week she goes, so what do you think? And I'm like, yeah, let's next week, you know. And then 8-8 felt right to Goldie, and then it was perfect for me. And today she spread Bikini's Ashes, and that incredibly feels like such a rich, soft, emotional, like perfect for this topic to me. I was kind of following her as she wrote things. And so, but I have so much to share about water in that, you know, my last book I wrote, the amazing thing is it all started from the conversation with a friend of mine about being a no umbrella person, which meant we loved getting wet and we didn't want an umbrella. And that just started this funny scenario which led down a very 5-year journey of writing a book. So
nice.
thanks to the rain, thanks to water. Now, two other things I'd love to talk about are, you know, pay attention, right? So here's my pay attention. So I'm painting a painting for the last, probably started it maybe 3 months ago, but, you know, I let it sit. And then it transforms and it changes. And so I'm painting all this blue and the color blue, and then all this, I posted it just now on Facebook if anyone wants to check it out later. So all this blue, but then at the very bottom there's this magical, beautiful, glowing forest. And so I'm thinking it's a forest with all this sky. And then my son's girlfriend walks in and she goes, oh, a forest under a waterfall. And I went, wow, I've been painting a waterfall. So there's the water, you know. So now a really special gift that I want to give everybody that's listening is that I consider certain things that come to me in dream time between special people sacred. But I want to share it because it's important, and I want to gift the audience, and I want to share this part of myself. And I think Angela Sarian would totally support me on this. Angela Sarian was a mentor of mine since 1991. She died unexpectedly April 24th of pneumonia. She was in her 70s. Well, I was so close to her that, you know, at first I was incredibly shocked at her sudden death. And then, you know, you trust that how strong the relationship is. So I've been gifted from her and my relationship with her with some dreams. And the last dream I had was about 2 weeks ago. And I was somewhere in like a big enclosed auditorium. And there was two showers. One was on the sidelines and one was in the center. And I sort of kept leaning towards, I'm going to be showering on the sidelines. And, you know, does that make sense? Not really, but here we are with water again. And here we are with emotions and vulnerability and also the willingness to step forward and put yourself out there. So here's my mentor of that many years, took me by the hand. She was completely naked, and so was I. And she took me to the center of this auditorium, and I stood under a shower and just became relaxed. And she was there with me. She was holding my hand, and I could feel the encouragement of, you know, here you are in the center. This is your time. Get, you know, and let the water fall over you. And there's so many truths and metaphors and stories and, you know, the amazing thing about the absolute incredible synchronicity of what's been happening for me lately is when I first met her in 1991, I went to a lecture she did on storytelling. And here I am a storyteller now, and now I'm under a shower in the center of a big auditorium, naked. So you get that metaphor, you know, bearing my soul and doing my work. And it was beautiful. And so I shared with Goldie that, I hold these exchanges sacred, but, you know, I really thought this could be a gift for tonight because it was so prevalent. And it was, you know, okay, how about it wasn't just for me? It was for all of us. Just like when I found the magic gown with her, it wasn't just for me. It was for the entire collective. So there it is. It's all for us. You know, I'm sharing it, but it's all of ours. And so that's powerful, and these kinds of things are happening, and they really do feel magical, and they're real, though, because, you know, I'm very present and willing to take a shower in the middle of the auditorium. So here I am tonight, and we're sharing what is our relationship with water, and, you know, what is my relationship with water? It's a really good question, but I am attracted to water. I love water. Water is part of my storytelling. Water, as a child, I was a swimmer. You know, here I am tonight on a radio show with Goldie, having exchanged so many vulnerable things in life with her. And I think, you know, the art of relationship probably is our relationship with water. You know, I have a lot more to talk about, and I could really go on about it, but, you know, let's go back to Goldie, and I'll be back.
Jeannie, so that was beautiful.
Goldie.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've been doing radio with Jeannie for over 3 years, and the courage, I want it noted for everybody, the courage for her to be vulnerable and share that story was exquisite.
Yeah. Thank you. Just because I was sitting naked. It was really because I hold what occurs very sacred, and at times. And let me just tell this short story about Angela Farrier.
No, please, you got the floor.
Yeah, this is water. Another water.
You got
related.
The tile
Sorry.
Floor. Sorry.
Okay. So here's the story about Angela, and this is why I hold so much sacred. But then you have to have the great discernment, right time, right place, and she taught me that. But tonight was right time, right place. And Goldie helped me with that. But anyway, here we go. So Angela Sarian, a long time ago, probably when she was in her 30s, she lived in, she had a business and office. She was a teacher of, you know, transformation to people. She had a houseboat for her office. And she made like a medicine stick for her own personal, you know, some kind of ceremony she did for herself. It was private ceremony. And when she released the medicine stick out to the world, she threw it in the bay by San Francisco. You know, wherever, I don't know, but it went, and it went off into the bay, and that was the end of that. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Now, so let's just say a year later, she's on a ferry, on a boat, in the Bay Area, and she goes up to talk to the captain, and across his bow, in where he drives the boat, was her medicine stick. He had
Wow.
And she said, "Oh wow, And he goes, yes, I found this in the bay. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh,
and she said,
wow.
She said, yes, it is. And she never told him it was her, that she had thrown it. She thought that the magic, the more powerful thing to do.
Oh,
was
I got huge
hold.
Chills.
Yeah.
Huge
yeah, so
chills.
This is the kind of person she was, where she kind of knew when to hold that. And she did. And I always respected that about her. But tonight, I know she would want me to share that story about the shower. And, you know, and that it was for, because we're doing a show on water. And she taught me all about the elements and the directions. And, you know, so how appropriate that she's here
yeah.
tonight with us, because, you know, she'd be very happy to be a part of this, and she is. So I wanted to share that's the choice of holding, because it's powerful for that man's process.
Yeah.
And then tonight I wanted to share because I felt it was for all of us, and it was a gift. And I do want to share my vulnerability with everybody. So there it is.
Beautiful. Beautiful stories. And Angeles and Dakini, you know, they're our two biggest fans.
Yes, they are.
Definitely. They're definitely definitely in the ethers and, you know, the fourth dimension or wherever it is that, you know, we go when we're not in body anymore but still clearly connected. And I'll tell you, I mean, vulnerability is absolutely a quality of water that – you know, it's very interesting because when Janine first said it to me, you know, what's your relationship with water? You know, my first instinct was, well, that's all I drank.
Well, sure,
you know,
because
the practical. You know, I went to the practical as a first thought. And then, you know, as you sit and you contemplate, you know, because we would have conversations about it, you know, because when she brought up that, you know, our bodies are 60 to 70% water, you know, you really start going, that's a significant percentage from an elemental point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this, what is the influence that this element has in my experience, and not just me, but it's in all living beings, water is, you know, a significant element. And I started, you know, I just started exploring what was coming to me. And, you know, I started understanding that when I, for the last year, my life has really been a metaphor based on water. And, you know, I'll tell you when... I was in the forest, and you guys all pretty much know my pictures of the reservoir. Now, since I was 13 years old and I saw the movie Jaws, I have a fear of being in water where I can't see below my feet. Crystal blue waters, Goldie can rock, you know, and I've actually scuba dived in crystal blue waters to help assure myself, you know, that monsters aren't coming up from the bottom of whether it's a river, a lake, a reservoir, whatever. And you know, it's an interesting caveat because there's two situations. I know that I'm safe in water, but I also know that I am venturing into what water is taking me into multidimensional aspects of myself. And in all honesty, in my multidimensional water spaces, monsters do exist. And I just get a sense that I know they exist, but the first thing that my soul was doing to prepare me for the time when I was going to be literally cracked open like a can of soda into my fourth dimensional experiences, the water initially at the reservoir goes, you need to come in me. You need to immerse yourself in water.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling Janine that. And Janine has such a beautiful way of, if you tell her something and it's from your soul, Janine reacts like a Christmas tree that gets plugged in and just lights up. Everybody should have a friend who's soulfully connected like Janine, because if you're not quite sure, when you say it to them and they light up, you go, oh, okay, right, this is something. And, you know, she lit up when I said, I think I'm going to join the Y because I'm getting the hit. I need to be immersed in water. You know, and the interesting about that is there were fears, tremendous fears about being in a bathing suit in public, basically being in quote-unquote a public bathhouse. Because when I first started going to the Y, I wasn't even swimming at that point. I was just sitting in a hot tub because I had a really bad back, and I was just like, oh, they've got a hot tub. Now, here's the interesting thing about the first Y that I joined, which is no longer on the planet. The building was actually knocked down 3 months after I joined. But they had this hot tub at the Y, and it was not your basic hot tub made out of fiberglass. It was built into the wall with like, you know, a tile structure. So it was very square. And I know you're going, well, what does that mean? Well, it was so interesting because I would sit in the corner where there were these two very strong jets. I would sit in the corner. I would put my legs like kind of up in a – my knees were bent up. And if I shut my eyes, the way the jets would move me, for whatever the reason, I can't – it would form a wormhole, and I would literally be taken out of my body because the way the jets moved my body, I no longer felt my butt on the chair, and I didn't feel anything on the sides. It was like it cradled me in such a way that, I mean, I was staying in this hot tub like 45, 55 minutes at a clip. You know, where normally I would lose patience and get bored and go, you know, 10, 15 minutes in, okay, you know, I'm loose, I'm out. But it was an extraordinary experience. And then, of course, 3 months after I joined the Y, it closed down, and all the other Ys that I saw at YMCA is what I'm referencing, all the other YMCAs in the area that I could join all had your basic hot tubs, you know, with the sunken-in seats and made out of fiberglass. So none of them did this wormhole for me. And I was really, really disappointed, but I knew, stick with it, Goldie, stick with it. The water was definitely having effects on me. Mm-hmm. So it really was, though, my first glimpse to understanding that water is a multidimensional portal. And
Goldie, how cool, because we are too, and because look how much water.
Exactly.
Look at how much water we are. Like you said, 60 to 70. Kids are actually more. But yeah, so yes, we're multidimensional. Isn't that wonderful? It's just so, there you go. That's us. That's us.
That's,
I mean,
totally us. And it was funny because when it first went away, I was like, oh, don't take my little portal away. You know, I was having such a good time and staying in the whirlpool for 50 minutes, an hour. And it was funny because I chased it. It's so like me in my compulsive, addictive behavior. You know, I would go to all these other YMCAs in the area, and the first thing I go, I need to sit in your whirlpool and see if I have an experience. And none of them gave me the experience until I started swimming.
There you go.
And then it was unbelievable. I would go into the pool with stress or anxiety about, you know, who knows, something. And I have a thing. Okay, so I smoke cigarettes for 35 years. Breathing is not a strong suit per se of mine, and swimming and breathing go hand in hand. So the first thing I realized was do the backstroke, you know, which was funny because at first I was like, what will other people think? And literally the water kind of comforted me and went, just be in the water and swim. I don't care if you doggy paddle. Just be in the water and swim. It was really clear to me. It was going, don't worry. This is about letting go of worry. This is not about focusing on worry. So I'm doing the backstroke, and there are definitely times, I do 40 laps every time I swim. Hands down, there are times when I'll go through 20 laps, and I don't even know where
you
I
went.
Was.
It
happens in a spaceless time. Being submersed in water, it's so funny. I tell people all the time, the forest has a presence and a frequency that very similar to a baby and its mother, a newborn baby and its mother. If you put a newborn baby on your chest, inevitably, not long after, the baby's heartbeat will match the person holding it heartbeat. It's mm-hmm. called entrainment. And the forest has the exact same calming effect, a very natural response to the human body. And all that's required is you put yourself in it. Now, I'm a forest girl, but I'll be honest with you, any space in nature that doesn't have the electrical lines and the telephone lines and, you know, nothing man-made. You can be at the beach, you can be on a mountain, you can be in a meadow. The key is to really have a good, a decent area that there's literally no frequencies, especially the EMF frequencies that just twist and turn our emotional and our conscious states of being. That is the key, because what I am learning from being immersed in water, drinking water, and then, of course, in the last 3 weeks, Janine bringing to my attention what is my relationship to water, is that, I mean, and this is no joke, it is the bridge between this world and the non-physical world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't explain to you how that is. I can only tell you, because just so everybody knows, I got a new way of sharing these days and of really just being myself. My new thing is, this is what works for Goldie. I'm going to share with you my experiences. If you can garnish wisdom and some sort of technique or not technique or you know, something that makes you help you on your journey, that is fantastic. But I've recently had an experience that let me know from a cellular point of view that my way of being is not everybody's way of being. This is not the panacea that works for everybody, not even close. It is a panacea. It is something that will work for some of us. And I can only speak to those who – I can't even speak. I can speak my truth and my experiences. If it works for you, that's awesome. I would love to hear how it's working for you. If it doesn't work for you, I'd even love to hear how it's not working for you, to be honest.
Yeah,
you know, I'm so getting into, like, one of the things I got from water, and I even showed Alana today when we were doing the Dakini thing. If you watch the water in a reservoir, there is so many different directions a space will be moving in. I mean, literally all directions, and it's like, I mean, you can literally see right angles, I mean, literally corners where the water is moving in one direction, and in that corner, I've seen it, right next to it, in the middle of the reservoir, there the water is still. It's not moving, and yet there's a clear boundary, because this is another thing that I definitely got from the water, healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because the water shows me that it's all one reservoir, but there really is unique properties within every drop.
Yeah,
and
each current.
Very much, literally, and it's distinct. I mean, it's so distinct you can see right angles. I can see different frequencies. One frequency will be, you know, a tight little squiggle, and then, you know, 2 feet away from that, it'll be a larger wave. And it's not, you know, I'm not imagining it. I'm literally, I'm looking, and as I'm watching this going, I know that it's showing me that which is I'm unable to see in the air, you know, in life itself. It's because another quality of water is its reflective capacity. It is so reflective, and not just of what we see, because the true metaphor, at least for me, the true metaphor of water is emotional reflections.
Yeah.
A big one.
I liked when you said that you don't even know how, like, and that's what asking the question, any kind of wondering, it's a invitation to explore something. And when you're exploring water, what I love about it, it teaches you the need to not know. It's because I don't know either. It's just an invitation to, because it is undefinable in many ways, the properties and how we relate. And, that, you know, I like that about myself and yourself. And it's an invitation to know oneself. But there's also a really beautiful opening when you don't have to know, and you're not attached to outcome. And this is not about, you know, black and white. This is about the comfort zone of just wondering and
exactly.
allowing. And I love
yes.
that. You know, that's just one of those places where you get easier. You get easier about things. And water teaches
softer,
me that.
Softer.
And
water teaches me that as well. Definitely.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, when you posted something about things that remain a mystery, and that, you know, that's an ongoing process that I enjoy. You know, and yeah. maybe back, you know, a while ago, years ago, you know, there's a determination to know, but then you start to enjoy the mystery. And then you realize, you know, there's just something, I guess it's the maturing process, you know, and so that's what water does for me. And I loved when you said, I don't know. And I was thinking, yeah, I don't know either, and that's good, and that's okay. And, you know, and this is what wondering does, and, you know,
right.
our relationship
right.
to water. And I have a painting that's in one of my books, and it's a forest with a river in it, and in the river are these swirls. And, you know, in all the years that I go to kids and I show them these paintings, you know, as I unfold them, you know, I talk about, and then there was this, and then there was that. And never before, but just in the past year, this is so interesting, there have been three kids that when they see this painting, they go, ooh, portals. And I never,
oh,
you know,
wow.
I've been showing... Yeah, and I've been showing these paintings now probably for, you know, eight years, and no one's ever said that before. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know, the water in this painting, the river, has these swirls, and I just indicated them as, you know, something's happening. But the kids are picking up that they're portals, and I really is like, you know, I pay attention to these things. You know, it's like,
yeah, right on, right on.
Right? So
the kids
that
know, the kids definitely. I know.
Yeah, and you just used the word portal because, you know, when you were in the hot tub, and I really do, without having to explain more than I know, the water is multidimensional. And,
no,
you know,
water is definitely multidimensional.
And so are we.
And so are we. And it's like we're not just having these experiences. I mean, because for me, water also represents what space is like. You know, because, you know, wait till I start floating, everybody. Because I already told
yeah.
Janine that we're probably going to do a show a week by that point, because I can't even imagine the type of wisdom
yeah.
and awarenesses that are going to come through me, you know, basically floating in 800 pounds of salt water, you know, heated to the temperature of my skin. It's an exquisite way to essentially dislodge from the physical world.
Right.
To have a greater understanding of what's going on, multidimensional, and, of course, my whole intent is to directly connect with the more expanded part of my soul.
Well, that's, and it's interesting because you're going within as you do this, and, you know, you're also, look where, you know, from the time that you said, I think I'm going to start swimming, or I am going to start swimming, and I picked up on that immediately. But look where you've come, and, you know, this is your relationship that you've experienced in water, with water, for the last, what is it, almost 2 years now?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years. Actually, no, September will be 2 years. That was when my 3 months started the first time. But remember, I've been in water for 2 years. I didn't start swimming till I went in March.
Okay.
So
right.
March was a year because I had to go to the other Y to get that. But, because now what's so amazing to me is, there's so many qualities to water. You know, it's really hard to, I wrote things down. First of all, when I'm in the water, when I'm swimming, and it's warm water, it's heated. It's not the body temperature, but it's definitely heated. I'll be honest with you. There is a soothing. It's the feel. It's like I'm in the womb. I mean, there's no doubt that it literally dislodges me from the mental anxiety. Now, I think part of that is because I'm moving my body, which is. I can't wait to explore being in water, you know, kind of just stationary. I have floated once already because Scott would never let me buy my own deprivation tank without, you know, he's like, try it once, you know, before you start dropping thousands of dollars to get this tank. And I'm like, no, I totally agree. And I did, and it was, I already knew. I mean, I'm hooked. This is going to take me into the depth of my being. But no doubt, swimming, moving my body in a way that, you know, it's laps. You're literally just going back and forth in a pool. So you don't have to think. And what's so amazing is when we dislodge from what I term like the tentacles of the matrix, which is in the mind. The mind is where the matrix is focused on, you know, with frequencies that are just built to drive us insane. I mean, in all honesty, and, you know, make us doubt ourselves, be paranoid, become combative. All of these things, when you dislodge yourself for a period of time, it's like these other, the best way to describe it is, it's a frequency that's always there, but until you're aware of it, it doesn't seem to, you know, it can always be there. If it's not making a difference in my life, who cares? You know, this something, if something's there and I need it to mean something to me, I need to experience the frequencies. The frequencies of being immersed in water is absolutely the nurturing of the womb, the safety, and the nourishment. It's a nourishment that, you know, I've only been swimming, like I said, for a year, a little over a year, and you know, it's just something that for me. I have a very addictive personality. You know, I love it. I'm not addicted to cocaine anymore. I'm addicted to swimming. Swimming and going to the forest. It couldn't have come at a better time in my life because I'm also letting go of gluten and, you know, all these fine things. All part of the process, very divine, because I got to share with you, too. I'm very curious if anybody else knew about this. Joe Clark is with us. Joe from New Zealand is with us. Thank you so much for being here, Joe. Hi, Joe. So we all know I had to put my cat down a couple of weeks ago. Very traumatic experience. My cat is an extension of myself. Still is, by the way. And... So she's already passed, and I know from my own experience what I'm going to do with myself. It's very important for me to have her cremated. I want her basically completely released from her body, which is, and it's funny because I'm Jewish. Jewish people don't cremate, and I shouldn't say I'm Jewish. I was raised Jewish. I will definitely be cremated, no doubt. Anyways, so I'm checking into cremations, and I find a crematory for pets, and I make the appointment, and right after I hang up, I was at work. I'm just kind of sitting there, and I have this thing that sometimes when I'm not sure about something, I go to a random generator of a yes-no generator. It's on the computer. It's random. And I ask questions and get yes-no answers. So I ask the question, will Dakini be burned? You know, because I was feeling paranoid that they were just going to scoop ashes from someplace, but she was never going to be released from her body. So the generator goes, no. You know, and I was like, damn it, I knew it. I knew it. I'm like, okay, I mean, how many pet crematories do you think there's going to be in the area? You know, well, lo and behold, I get on Google, I find another one. Now, remember, the question I asked the generator was, is Dakini going to be burned, you know, with properly and with dignity? When I go to the next crematory, it is the only one in the East Coast of America that is existence right now, and they cremate through a process done with water.
Isn't that amazing?
I couldn't believe it. I mean, now this is in the middle of us asking the question, what's our relationship with water? And I was like, okay, so what does it mean to be cremated by water? And she was telling me that, you know, the process is they put them in a some sort of tank that has a constant movement of water, so it breaks down the body. It leaves nothing but bones. When the process is done, they dehydrate the bones and are essentially exactly the same in texture and stuff. They're ashes when the process is done. And what they do with the water is they recycle the water because it's very friendly to the environment. I found out that this was actually a cemetery that does this, and their cemetery is deemed a wildlife sanctuary. So, you know, it was like, you know, it was so clear to me. All of a sudden, yeah, everything was coming in on place and clicking. And, and I literally said, will Dakini be cremated with dignity with water? And the yes-no thing went, yes. And I was like, and I'm telling you, as soon as I hit that button, I went, please don't say no. I'm truly screwed if it comes up no. So, you know, it was like, and it said yes. And I was like, wow, water. Now, once I started running this whole concept in me, I started understanding a couple of years ago, I was going through a space where I was dealing with rage. And it was very interesting because I was working for a family. I had just started working for them. To make a long story short, it was a progressive work stage that she hired me for. The first month I'd work once a week, the second month I'd work twice a week, the third month we'd get me to 3 days a week, and from that point forward it'd be 3 days a week. Okay, to make a long story short, she was messing with my days. I never got to 3 days a week. Some days she would basically cancel all three of my days, and I was working no days. And this was a woman who was a nurse. So, she lived in a pretty nice area. It was like, I didn't understand it, but I didn't really care to understand it. All I knew is the last time she called up and said, oh, listen, I'm canceling, you know, 2 days next week. I'm taking the baby to the doctor. I snapped, and I went into a rage. And when I tell you a rage, I'm telling you, I had visuals of bitch slapping this woman with a pistol. I mean, I told Janine about it. I've had other shows where I talked about it. But what I ended up doing is I had to process the rage out of me through fire. And the fire was immensely positive because it was heat that I needed to clear up this anger. The anger was so – it was hot. Well, what's so amazing is when Dakini went through the process – God bless my little monkey – when she went through the process of – being cremated through the water, I'm really literally having experiences of transformation through water that it's not done through the heat. It's done through the tension and the friction.
Mm.
And I'm literally witnessing myself where I think one of the most common emotions we all have is the sense of feeling uncomfortable. You know, I realize that's a very broad general statement, but stay with me for a minute. So my beloved Janine showed me a few years ago that feeling bad does not make us bad people. Feeling bad is simply part of the dynamic, as Janine coined the phrase, creative tension. And I'll tell you guys, I am learning, I'm not even learning, I have mastered the redefinition of feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody's calling me. Who cares? To where I now utilize feeling uncomfortable for my own benefit.
Yeah.
And I want to just give you a few examples, because right now it is very clear to me the world is uncomfortable. And I'm not saying, you know, what's going on in Gaza and what's going on with shit, everything is not reason to be uncomfortable. It is clearly reasons to be uncomfortable. But the thing about being uncomfortable is if we don't embody uncomfortable so that it can do the transformational process, which is ultimately alchemy. It is the alchemy of ingesting mm-hmm. our own matrix energies. Because it's our emotions that the matrix have turned upside down and inside out. You know, the matrix has us believing smoking cigarettes makes you feel good. You know, it has us believing, you know, eating fast foods is a great way, you know, to start your day. You know, I mean, with these McDonald's commercials and stuff. I mean, but it's like, you know, if you stick with me here, it's the template that, you know, once we have the awareness that the matrix has literally programmed us to go upside down, the understanding of how water can turn us right side up through pain and through uncomfortableness and through tension, which I have now deemed creative tension, is extraordinary. Because, okay, so last year in September, I start working for Scott's mother, who is 76 years old with dementia. And it essentially works very quickly to, I'm no longer taking care of children. I'm now full-time taking care of this elderly woman. Now, you guys don't have to be, you know, PhDs out there to figure out that taking care of infants, toddlers, and kids is going to be a very different experience than taking care of an elderly woman with dementia. Now, the funny part about that is once I learned to accept, because I'll tell you, for 2 years I tried to get a nanny gig prior to taking care of Scott's mother, and my soul would not let me land a job. And I'll tell you guys, I have 28 years experience. I'm college educated. I've got a list of references as long as my arm that say I'm a fantastic nanny. So from a statistical point of view in the regular world, there was absolutely no reason why I should not land a nanny job in 2 years. And then it hit me. My soul was like, okay, Goldie, for 28 years, you have played with the kids. You did good. You know, you were where we wanted you to be. But now you got to, there's some dues that we got to pay. And that dues is now you got to take those caregiving skills and work with the elderly. Well, I'll be honest with you. Prior to taking this job, I actually broke up with Scott in preparation going, listen, I'm not taking care of your mother. And right. I broke up with him. Two years before it even came into play, I broke up with him. Now, just so you know, me and Scott break up and get back together. Well, we used to. I mean, since I've taken care of his mother, we haven't broken up once. Because I recognize I just can't walk away from this. This is, I'm committed. And My whole point of telling you this story is I can tell you that I have had significant moments, where I'm driving to work. I know it's going to be a day of dealing with her demons, and she's going to be triggering me and my demons, and we're going to be bitching and moaning at each other, and, you know, it is nothing like sitting down drawing, you know, pretty pictures with four-year-olds. Nothing like that. And yet when I'm driving to work, this incredible wave of gratitude literally washes through my being like truly like a wave telling me that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. It's like I'm so learning by redefining uncomfortable as being something I walk away from and being uncomfortable as something I dive into. I am learning that there is an abundance, and in my humble opinion, it is available to all of us if we would redefine our motives for what we're truly looking for. Because I didn't get up and go, hey, you know, I'd like to be around, you know, a woman who can't remember a sentence 5 minutes before. And I mean, I'm not interested in that. And yet, you know, the truth is, what I'm discovering about my own soul, Jeannie is essentially the archetype of my mother. I am healing the archetype because my mother died at a young age from cancer, where Jeannie is now the archetype of me and my mother. So all the triggers that my mother and me never got to play out, me and Jeannie play out. And it's like, it's exquisite. Is it challenging? Every single day it's challenging. But here's the key, because I've redefined uncomfortable. It's also incredibly rewarding. You will never hear me post, say, or even think, when is all this releasing going to be done? Because I can tell you, when people become impatient about their releasing, it's because they're not integrating what needs to be integrated. Therefore, they're not releasing. The true release comes from total integration, ingestion, immersion. Whatever we're feeling uncomfortable about, if you run, the shadow will follow you like a master, like a master. Ooh, you got! I'm fired up, Jeannie.
There's always so many gifts, and would you ever tell? Because it's so recent in this. What's your relationship with water invitation? And you know, it's so appropriate to my enchantment and Carl Jung's story. But would you ever tell that she noticed what you singing? Would you with that song?
Oh yes.
Because
okay,
that
so,
to me,
yes.
Talk about, you know, the true, you know, the job that has challenges that are not just emotionally and mentally challenging, but they're physically challenging too, you know, and it's a messy job at times, and a lot of jobs are, you know, and which to me is synonymous to being the, you know, recognizing the discomfort within ourselves and the staying with it, and the staying with it,
well,
because
right,
on
because
the other
the
side
purpose of it.
is
the so key.
So Goldie has this great story that I think is just like 4 or 5 days old or something in this
show.
Yeah,
it happened last week.
Okay,
so I get to Jeannie's, and I want to hear from you too. I get to Jeannie's, and in a nutshell, there's a shit storm, literally, on her in the bathroom. And in all honesty, Jeannie's always been able to make it to the bathroom from a bowel perspective. It's been pee that has, she wears diapers, but it's usually been pee has been the issue. So, you know, I get there and I'm like, oh, hell no. You know, I call up Scott, let's start talking about a home. I'm done. Or somebody else coming in, I'm done. So I clean it all up. It smells to high holy shitsville.
Right.
I'm not in a good space on this day. And, you know, and Jeannie always recognized that's Scott's mom. She always recognized when I'm like that, she becomes quiet and really just lets me be. And I appreciate that. So here's the crazy part. In the middle of a shitstorm, when things are at their very worst, all of a sudden it's the end of the day. You know, everything was fine after that. You know, I got her cleaned up, got everything cleaned up. It didn't kill me. I fed her. She was watching TV. I kept my space. And then I'm getting ready to go, and unconsciously, I'm humming and singing a song. I don't even know. It was not a real thing. It was just, you know, a beep, ba, ba, da, ba, 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 beep, da, ba, ba, ba. And, you know, in all honesty, I'm not really the type to whistle or do that, but I was. And when I walked into the living room where Jeannie was watching TV, she goes, I haven't heard singing in this house in so long. And then she goes, thank you.
Oh, I love
and
that.
I'm telling you, she floored me. I mean, I went, whoa. You know, like, I am singing, and I feel fantastic, and it immediately showed me.
To me, that's a fractal. It's a fractal.
I'm telling you, because what I have learned from Dakini's passing, what I have learned from challenging moments being with Jeannie, in the height of our illustrious pain,
yeah,
joy and or unconditional love, and I mean the real stuff that this whole universe is made out of, shows up. It is so exquisite, and I'll be honest with you, if you don't believe me, read a book called Viktor Frankl wrote a logos, you know, a philosophy about the beauty of life while in a concentration camp in Auschwitz.
Right.
This is the magic of the aspects of the qualities of life that our science doesn't teach us this, our religions don't teach us this. Here is our greatest teacher who teaches us this. Experience.
Right.
You know, the Matrix says everything to keep us away from the challenging experiences. All you have to do is look at the latest dogma of the New Age. The New Age tells you, stay away from, you know, any, if there's a relationship that's negative, you know, leave it behind and keep moving on. Hello, from a humble point of view, we could all use a little negativity in our lives because we've all put negativity into life. You know,
right.
we're in a polarized dimension. None of us have stayed to the left and haven't ventured to the right. You wouldn't come here if that was the point of where you wanted to be. We come to a polarized experience to experience both left and right, both good and bad, light and dark. It's to think otherwise is a denial and will keep you in a clutch of frustration and it's an entrapment, and that's what I mean by it's about redefining things. Redefine your life, because I'm not saying you have to deal with all challenging things, but pick something that's going on and look at in your own life. Because the key is with me, when Jeannie defined for me that feeling bad didn't make me a bad person. No one had ever said that to me before. I mean, no one. So then I'm like, okay, well, because I'm an explorer and I'm an adventurist. It's like, okay, feeling bad doesn't make me bad. What does feeling bad do? You know, because from the witness point of view, it's so clear to see that there is an agenda to not feel bad. I mean,
right.
It's prevalent. So if there is an agenda to stay away from bad feelings, well, son of a bitch, sign me up for the, let me start feeling bad. Go ahead.
No, I mean, the noticing, this is again, it's the wondering, it's the invitation, the awareness of knowing that, you know, okay, there it is, I'm uncomfortable. What is that? You know, that is a signpost to be with that, because your story about, you know, cleaning up all the bathroom and the crap and, you know, and then you weren't even aware that you were humming a tune or singing something. And for her to notice that and say, "You're singing," and then her memory is, "I haven't heard singing in this house for so long." For me, that, first of all, that's an absolute gem of a story of the extraordinary in the ordinary, experienced multiple times a day when we allow ourselves to, you know, be in the shitstorm.
Literally.
It's the richest thing, I mean, that I've discovered for myself, working with people, just paying attention, being quiet, you know, noticing things. I mean, that's what I notice. And so when you told that story, you know, it could have been a story that someone would have said, "Oh, yeah, that's really nice." But I knew it was one of those moments that are extraordinary because you affected her.
Yeah.
She affected you. And,
definitely.
You know, it's what pops up and, you know, you go, "Wow, there it is. This is what is outside of all the corruption of misguidance." And the truth is every time, you know, we are uncomfortable, I know the amazing thing is we're being asked to know ourselves better. And
yes.
And we've been right. And so that, again, for me, you know, and I get very excited about the fact that the premise of this show tonight was, what's your relationship with water? Well, because you're 60 to 70% of water, isn't that interesting that you might even be talking about what is your relationship with self? And the thing is the more you wonder those things about self, and you're not, this isn't about obsession of having to know, it's about allowing a process to unfold, which is really how soul works. You know,
right.
It's not in a book. You know, it's experience. It's dialogue with yourself.
That is the first teacher that we must understand is, if experience is the greatest teacher, then we got to stop walking away from experiences because we're missing the teaching.
Right.
We can't be afraid to get shit on us, because if you're afraid to get shit on you, how would you possibly even know what shit looks or smells like? You've never had it on you. So somebody at some point can go, you know, "I've got some chocolate to sell you."
Right. And I told Goldie, you know, in my 20s, I was a labor and delivery nurse, and I've had every bodily fluid possible on me. And, you know, it's organic.
Yeah.
It's part of life. It's part of the birthing process. You know,
so there you go. Yeah.
So creative tension and shit and amniotic fluid and blood and all the other things, they are all part of the birthing process.
And ultimately, water is the birthing process for the
so
planet,
birth away,
from
right?
a macrocosm. So, no, absolutely. Because we are the microcosm of her. Because, you know, when I see an experience, a better word, when I experience these incredible moments of, it's not just a soul awareness. I mean, there's a presence that, I mean, for one thing, Jeannie became lucid in that moment.
Yeah.
I was lucid in that moment. There was a connection. There was an absolute multidimensional awareness from both of us. And if this can happen on the microcosm, and Mandy, this I want you to hear, my friend, the planet can do this too, because we're the microcosm of the macrocosm. The planet will have extraordinary experiences in its darkest moment. And
in
those extraordinary experiences, healing takes place that is beyond, quote unquote, like a Western medicine doing something for me. It's simply within the actual frequency itself. And like us, we're getting sprinkled moments of these divine moments. And when our journey is complete, that we have, in my humble opinion, integrated all that is ours to integrate, because when people when people say that they're releasing things, I was telling Alana today, the release is what I would call a side effect. If you want to release something, the way to release it is to fully integrate it. Because the true thing is releasing comes from the alchemy of integrating. And integration is when everything, you got to bring everything inside yourself. If you're triggered by the conditions the planet's going through, it's not about, you know, how much other people are doing. I know that has a factor in it, but for the personal self, if you're triggered by that, that is a reflection of self. So now integrate that feeling. You know, how am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And all that can be happening that's not happening is the integration of the uncomfortable feeling that the world is being treated like shit.
Yeah.
You know, like that simple act of integrating your piece of, yes, where am I treating myself like shit?
Right,
where
right,
am I
right.
not respecting myself? Where am I polluting myself like you just wrote down? Because everything is symbolism and fractalism. So if I and who was it? David Hawkins wrote the book Power Versus Force, where the power of a being who is truly holding a frequency of the way he numbers the system, once you're at 200, that's courage. And once you're at 200, you're now making positive effects on your environment. And below 200, you're affected by the negative. And when you get to like 600, a person radiating the frequency of love at 600 has the influence of like, what was it, Jay, like 700,000 people? who are vibrating at a frequency less than 200 or something.
Yes. They affect. It is an alchemy that occurs that, you know, surpasses any kind of lower frequency when you're 500 and above, you know, which is love
and
above.
Exactly.
And, you know, the beauty of your song story with Scott's mom is that, to me, this is what I have noticed in working with children and when I work with the art and my storytelling, because it's come from a place of transformation and, you know, just putting myself into my work. And your story to me demonstrates how this surpasses the kind of the mundane or the black and white, for me, what would be a declaration. All bets are off when you step into this world of enchantment or love, because, you know, I love that story about Carl Jung, because it involves water, by the way. Where he was sent this young girl who was a teacher who had terrible insomnia. I mean, it was like she wasn't sleeping at all. And she came from a long distance away, recommended by a doctor, and this would be a one-time only visit with Carl Jung if he could help her. It was that bad. So, you know, Carl Jung really could tell he was trying to talk to her about calming down, like, but from a mental space, you know, how she needed to calm down. And he moved into what I would perceive as another frequency or another dimension of himself when all of a sudden he heard his mother singing the lullaby that she sang his sister about a girl on a sailboat in the water. And it was a beautiful lullaby. Like, you know, it surpasses any kind of mental therapy, talk therapy. And Carl Jung just started, you know, completely intuitively, even probably surprised by himself, humming this beautiful lullaby, and he, you know, and that was it. And he did notice, though, that there was some, there was some change in her in terms of at least a connection. And he finished, you know, session was over, and she went back to her other, where she lived, which was kind of far away. And 2 years later, he met her doctor at a convention. And the doctor said to him, you know, this is back, you know, quite a while ago, because he died, I think, in the 50s or the 60s. The doctor said to him, what did you do? She never had insomnia again, completely no problem. And he said he got embarrassed because all he did was he hummed a lullaby that he heard his mother in him, he heard his mother singing this, and he just, you know, mimicked it. And then he wrote in his memoirs that enchantment was the oldest form of medicine. And so for me, these are those extraordinary moments in the ordinary when we transcend or, you know, any kind of, I don't know, mental declaration, this is the way it is, because it isn't. And this is why I love what's your relationship with water, because in many ways it's unexplainable, and I love the unexplainable. But I love moving into those areas where you kind of can maybe, you know, you're like, oh, I think I understand, but there's some kind of enchanting beauty that calls you to a place you don't, and it's amazing to me, amazing. And this is where
absolutely. Beyond, you know, it's amazing because we've been taught such a limited scope of truth.
Right.
Because, see, the whole key is we've got to, enchantment is so enchanting because we're raised, all of us. I mean, it's funny, Joe's in New Zealand, you know, me and you are in America.
Yeah,
and some people are, you know, we're literally across the whole world.
John Lash was talking about that.
Exactly.
Like this wonderful relationship with strangers. You know, it's got an incredible name, but it's magical.
He called it Maitreya.
To me, it's magical, and, you know, I mean, for me to be on here talking about our relationship with water and, you know, moving into these areas that are basically storytelling, and
absolutely. And but just because it's stories doesn't mean it's not true. That's, you know, myth.
Do you remember what I said to you like 2 weeks ago when we started to sense the story of the song, and I was telling you these incredible stories, and I said, by the way, it's real, it's happening.
Well, and because we've been so conditioned to believe, you know, our science for, because let's say, you know, somebody like me, I never felt an attraction to religion, but who are we kidding? Science is a dogma. You know, science has us being the only intelligent life form in the universe. Could it be any more, you know, blatantly incorrect? And it's not just that it's incorrect, it's believed that it's incorrect. So, and we were raised in this from birth. So
say that again, Goldie. Say that again.
The magic that we feel through this enchantment, we feel it's magic because we've been squeezed through a very limited dogma, whether it came from religion or it came from science.
Absolutely.
And the key is to be aware that we're upside down, inside out, and backwards. There's no denying that. We've all been raised to be fucked up. So, you know, it's kind of like farting. We can't point our fingers and go, you're bad, you fart. We all fart. So why don't we redefine farting like the kids do instead of making it being a humiliating experience? Why don't we laugh our asses off at how good it feels to release the gas?
Right.
Because Well, and a natural process. I mean, and I'm using this kind of, you know, cute little metaphor, you know, shit storms and farts, because the key is to understand where we're coming from, because each and every one of us has to undo what has been done to us. And it has been done to us, but that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. We can absolutely choose to come back into our natural state, and in that natural state, what people call miracles, we'll just call natural.
Exactly.
It
it's real. It's happening.
Natural.
It's real.
It's
exactly
real.
Right.
It's happening. Our imagination. When people tell me that I send love to a chicken before I eat it, and they ridicule me as being ridiculous and if the slaughterhouses don't end, you know, nothing I'm doing has any merit. I can tell you I have had experiences where I have sent chickens love, and absolutely through water, because water is the conductor of not just frequencies that we can see. Water is the conductor of frequencies we can't see.
That's
and that
true.
Means it hits souls.
That's
so when
true.
I look at that chicken breast in my thing, and I am absolutely genuinely grateful. And how do I know? Because it's a feeling. It's not a thinking. It is cellular.
Right.
It is
right.
It is a tone, literally a tone that is expressed through my being. And when it reaches that chicken's soul, it is
right.
sent back to me. A message received.
It's true. It's a conductor.
It is really a conductor.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
a multidimensional conductor. So that means we've been taught so much about only thinking in the third dimensional qualities
yeah.
of life. But
yeah.
what's happening is we're now in the middle of the galactic center. You know, there's a timing. The reason why they're kicking up all the shit storms on the planet is because simultaneously our sentience, literally each and every one of our sentience, is also kicking up and being turned on. And as that turns on, I can still have a very conscious relationship with my dead cat, my dead mother, and anybody else who's in the fourth dimension, because as part of being sentient, they're not dead. They're simply out of body, resonating to a different tone in another frequency. And I have the capacity to navigate to experience that frequency without dying. That's a game changer. Truly, a game changer.
Yeah, and that is, you know, that is the norm before it was made to us, you know, to feel it wasn't the norm. But it is, you know, for
yeah. But I'll be honest
our,
with you. I get the sense that we didn't come to this particular universe. This fourth dimensional, the Archons,
yeah.
The reptilians, they've been here from day one. It's never, this is what we got to redefine. We are not victims of this game.
No. But
we
this,
signed
that,
up because
that...
we're all fucking masters and we're brilliant. I mean, anybody who's competitive, I didn't mean to cut you off, babe. Anybody
no,
who's
okay.
competitive will know. Like I play pool, billiards pool, and I can tell you, when somebody comes up onto the table and they're an okay shooter, I'm an okay shooter. When somebody comes up and runs four balls in a row and then gives me the stick, okay, well, my game changes significantly because put up, shut up, or go home, Goldie. And I can't even tell you how many times I have literally closed games. Like being at a party with my brother, I'm shit-faced. He's shit-faced. He's playing all night. He's in the midst of this, you know, series with a total, you know, egomaniac. It comes to the fifth final game, and he'll look at me and goes, I want my sister to do the last game. You know, and I'm literally shit-faced on the couch going, pardon? And he's like, close. And truly, my love and loyalty to my brother, I would get up there, not even have played all night, and close that son of a bitch.
That's
because,
impressive.
but the key is we got to be willing to do it. And we got to be willing to let experience be the teacher. Because I'm not telling you I haven't fallen down. I've had places where I have fallen down. I mean, I broke up with Scott because I didn't want to take care of his mother. And here I am taking care of his mother 7 days a week and four nights a week. It's so funny how I respond to something at one point in my life. And yet if I just keep looking down the road, I see that it's exactly the opposite of what I'm going to do. You know, it's almost like Alana was saying it today. She goes, I'm so clear that I just need to know what I'm going to do in my next step. Just the next. The Matrix wants us planning our retirement. What a crock of shit that kind of planning is going to be. You know, the money won't even be what it's going to be when we retire. So it's really about being present in the moment, reading the intuitive signs, because water is the emotion. The emotions have a wisdom in them that the Matrix has absolutely tried its best for us to dismiss, discourage, and demote. And I promise you, if you invest in your emotions, having none of them be something that you look to get rid of, have every one of them be something that you look to integrate and understand and feel, it is what the Matrix is afraid of most of all, us doing that. That is what scares it, definitely.
that's the direction where, I mean, you've gone. I've seen people in my therapy practice where that really does help them who they thought they were, you know, what they thought they were, and it gives them permission to just, you know, go into the place of discomfort. That's what I've noticed is such a game changer. And
it's a game changer. And I promise you, you'll never be frustrated, because frustration is when the trigger shows up and we don't integrate it. That's when true frustration happens, because your soul literally goes, shit, I got to throw it back at him again. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. And you know, and I don't think the soul really says shit. I think the soul goes, okay, we'll do it again. But I promise you, and I know this from my own experience.
Oh, that's funny.
When it comes back around the next time, it's more intense, because the goal is to get it, not to dismiss it. Because our soul knows what we need to experience in order to become whole, in order to engage in an enchanting energy that will not only heal the planet, it will take us all into the next leg of the journey, which is ultimately a journey that is still based in duality, but from a much different perspective than the big arena that we're in now, as George Kavassalis calls it. You know, polarity is a part of all 12 dimensions in this universe. So it's never about not being in a polarized experience. But in the fifth dimension and beyond, the polarization is, oh, you disagree? Yeah, so do I. Okay, come on, let's go sit down and watch a sunset. Or better yet, let's go sit down and, you know, watch a supernova. You know, because
which to me, you know, is that great analogy of when you really do the emotional work, which is moving into the discomfort, which is, you know, interesting, a lot to do with water, or the element of water, or the consciousness of water, or the reflection of we are water. But I've noticed that because I'm a runner, and I'll run down paths, and you know, it's when you have done a lot of emotional work, you tend not to get snagged, or by the little branches or the thistles, because I just noticed that when your emotions, you're not really fully aware of them or immersed in them or working with them, a lot of times you'll get triggered and you'll pick a side, and you become fixed, which is the opposite of water, you know, and
right.
That's to me is when people start noticing that they're not getting snagged or triggered by other people's positions, because what does it really matter anyway? Why can't, you know, so that reactionary is very much an indication of doing emotional work. And it's interesting what you said about the fifth dimension, because that seems to have been handled by that time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it totally has. And it's so funny, because it's like I haven't quite figured out totally, and I know the floating experience is going to help me in this greatly. But the frequency of my beliefs are directly related to the frequencies of my reality. Because what's so interesting for me is I have been doing significant integration work for the last 2 years since basically, or last 3 years since you came into my life. And what I'm noticing is it's a very polarized state right now. The masses are polarized in victim and perpetrator. I mean, that to me just feels blatantly obvious. And I can remember dealing with my own victim consciousness when I first started, and I won't say first started, about 2 or 3 years into me and Scott being together. You know, there was a time where I literally sat on his bed. He walked away from me. I got upset about that and threw a guilt trip at him. And this is when he was still drinking. And, you know, he basically came in and, you know, put me up against the wall, started spitting in my face, threw food at me, you know. And it was like I literally had a moment where it was like, Goldie, you chose victim. And when I chose victim, he immediately went into perpetrator.
Right.
And it was because of his intensity of perpetrator that it all – I literally left the house after this massive fight. I got 500 yards down the road, turned around and came back and went, oh, my God, babe, I get it. I totally brought this on, you know. And Scott at that time really could not just turn off rage. When he went into perpetrator – As easily, to be quite honest, at this point now, Scott releases it within hours. I mean, if that, I've seen him release it in minutes. He's clearly been affected by the work I'm doing, and he is not doing integrative work, but he is absolutely what I call the designated environment. What do they call that? Gauge. He's my gauge, just like my father is my gauge for when I'm, you know, staying at the other house. And they show me, they're not doing the work, but when I'm doing the work, it reflects in the way they respond with me. No doubt. I've seen it blatantly, obviously. That's why when I'm triggered, I no longer chase the trigger. When I'm triggered, I'm like, all right, I got shit to, you know, go with it. You know, bring it on. You know, whatever I'm noticing, it immediately becomes, the trigger becomes irrelevant. And listen, I got a dear friend of mine, Dream Master is with us in the chat room. We've had several hundred conversations. He is a beautiful trigger in my life, and he is also a beautiful creator of my own awareness and integration, because he would trigger me, and now, after 6 years of knowing each other, I'm not triggered by him anymore. And it's not that I care about him any less. I simply integrated the aspects that he would trigger in me. And when you see a change in yourself from something being so, Facebook does it all the time. I mean, how many times have we've been scrolling down? This is mine. I'll be scrolling down and, you know, somebody shows, you know, an elephant that's been shot by, some wealthy elite and, you know, his nose is cut off. It's like, whoa, what the fuck did I just walk in? You know, like, I'll be in a great mood and it'll just take me down. I mean, just one swoop, take me down. And I'm really learning that, you know, there's an interesting dance that goes on, because I know it happens in the world, but there's a part of me that doesn't, I can know it, that doesn't mean I need to have a visual of it. And there's another part of me that goes, there will come a time where you'll look at that and will not be triggered at that. And you go, well, how can you not be triggered at that? From soul. You know, the part of, what are some of the soul wisdom? Nobody's here by default. Nobody is a prisoner of this dimension. Every being that's here knew it's a polarized dimension and knew that it was going to be a real shit storm from the fourth dimension down to the first dimension. The other beings know it, you know, because one of the things I've said a lot, especially to the vegans who, you know, have attacked me recently, is that I do understand the trauma that these animals go through, and by no means it hurts me to see any animal abused and mistreated. But I also know that just like any human being that has been traumatized and mistreated, which who can communicate, like the MK Ultra people and the super soldiers that have lived through their experiences. You speak to them, and there is this profound presence and love. Kathy O'Brien is the first one that comes to mind in her book, Transformation of America. I mean, she wrote in her book explicit, incredibly harsh experiences that she was put through mind control and the power elite and politicians. And this woman has nothing but love in her heart and the desire to expose it, which I'm all for. It's like, you know, we can get trapped in the polarization of all this pain going on in the universe, but when I connect with an animal from a conscious level, and not from a conscious level in my head, but a gratitude level, they are exposing me to patience, compassion, true unconditional love. It's like, it, by not acknowledging those qualities and only acknowledging the victim aspect mm-hmm. of that animal, I think we're doing the animal a great injustice, because they're not just their victim aspects. They are absolutely powerful, present beings that have so much to offer in the understanding of torture and radical, radical mistreatment. And, you know, talk to people like George Kavassalis, talk to people like Kathy O'Brien, talk to people that have truly been, you know, and Joe, I think you even might be in that, you know, to people who have been harassed, you know, unfathomably by fourth dimensional beings. There's a dance and a resonance that only through experience can we understand that there is such thing as pain, but the soul cannot be touched. The soul is pristine, and it is, ironically, the soul that's going, hey, listen, we're going to jump into that fire, and we're going to go into a really dark space. But, A, we know we're not stuck there. We're not – it's a very full-on experience. But as we integrate and come out of it – Teal Scott is another one, or Teal Swan yeah. is her new name. She's another one, brilliant, aware. We must be open to the beauty of darkness. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, I'll give you a personal experience. Dakini has recently just passed away. Out of all the people, out of all the beings in my life, my father, Jeannie, Scott, my brother, Janine, there's a lot of people, if they passed on, I'd be sad, but it would not hurt as much as my cat dying. My cat was literally the metaphor of she physically loved me in this lifetime, a physical love where every time I go home, this big fluffy ball of kitten cat would come up and snuggle with me. I'd brush her fur. It was a tactile experience. I am very much about tactile experience. That is how I never grew out of that as a baby. I don't put things in my mouth, but I need to touch things because it helps me understand the universe I'm in. And so out of everybody who really doesn't do a whole lot of touching on me, the one being in this planet that does was taken from me. And it was like, My first initial reaction was, and I was talking to Janine about this, is I need to get another cat tomorrow. I can't live without cat energy. I've never been without cat energy. Holy shit, how am I going to get through this time? I mean, you know, me and Jeannie are so volatile with each other. Who's going to show me love? And, of course, in all that fear and all that chaos and in all that matrix, I literally got... Through Dakini, I believe herself, she went, sit with this, you know, Mom, just sit with this. Mm. Because the wisdom of the ecstasy of the pain and the loneliness that I feel without my cat is it does not come in as a one-sided coin. Right. I also am receiving, and Joe knows about this, the golden tiger. I mean, Dakini brought me in a vision slash experience while I was sleeping. It was no dream, not by any stretch. She brought me to an aspect of myself that has been caged for three lifetimes. I was told this from an astrologer. And the aspect of myself is a beautiful male golden tiger. That is, Dakini led me to the cage. The cage was open. The tiger was stalking me. I was scared shitless. Inevitably, it put its paw on my head. It anointed me. And when I leaned back into it, it became this incredibly gorgeous Latino man. And, you know, I told Janine, I go, you know, some people might interpret this as, oh, he's my twin flame. He's my twin flame. That was not my feeling at all. My feeling is this aspect of me is masculine, but it's very much a part of me, and it's about the masculine passion that I have not expressed. I have expressed feminine passion from leading a very sexual life. I've always, growing up, I was always, you know, for me, if you said the word passion, I would immediately go, oh, sexual. And, of course, another matrix concept. Passion has something to do with sexual, but by no means. Sexual is a subset of passion. It is not the definition of passion, not even close, because passion is, I'm in passion right now. I am fired up. My energy, my pistons are firing full throttle. I feel what I'm sharing with you as my truth. As I'm delivering it as transparently as I possibly can, it's like the river of life force moving through us as a visceral experience, literally. It can't be stopped once it happens. It makes me laugh when I get passionate about things. I'll have people say to me, you know, lower your voice. You know, that just makes me explode. What do you mean, lower my voice? I'm passionate here. And I look at him and I go, if you can't handle my energy coming out of me, then I'll just walk away. You know, but I can't lower my voice. I don't want to stop myself from being passionate. I find it to be extraordinary, and yet I've never experienced masculine passion, which for the moment has come into me, I feel like, it will be a more active side of me, and I have a feeling it'll be business. You know, for the last 15 years, I've been very much going within, doing the integrative work, which is very feminine. You know, going within, receiving, listening. And I'm not saying that, you know, I have the radio show. That is definitely part of my masculine passion. But I fully expect within the next 7 to 10 years that my speaking will expand to universities and a wider live audience. Definitely. Yeah, right on, Janet. See, you know. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it just sounds like the fullness of both sides to me. You know, like you said, it's not just one side of the coin. It's not just one selective way of seeing something, or not just the feminine or just the masculine, it's the fullness. It's the, you know, it's not just being disturbed and upset about something, but also kind of open and looking at it, which to me is a more full way of handling something. Like, you know, that's what I'm listening to you say, you know, the fullness. And Dakini, you know, it's such a gift of again, the both sides, the lost, but not the lost, the true gift.
Well, the
she
void,
gave you.
Right? It's a void.
Right, right.
There is
right.
a void there, but let's not run away from the void fill it with the matrix
with
artificial
a new, or a new kitty, because that's exactly
which is the,
how you
right because
right
right. I'm sorry, you got me. You know, I'm off.
No, that was how you started. Was the
right.
Your immediate reaction was
right.
Yeah, it was to get. You know, and it's like, no. And, you know, again, that's that holding or sitting with it or being with something, you know, which, again.
With the uncomfortable.
Yeah, or just the, you know, the being with, yes, the discomfort, or the being with the void, or being with the sadness, or, you know, letting it turn to richness, because that's what ends up happening.
Right,
you know,
organically letting
exactly.
that happen. That's right. That's where patience, you know, because I am truly starting to understand, like, as I read these posts and blogs, like, you know, the whole Karen Hudis stuff with the, you know, the money getting ready, you know, the dollar is going to collapse and we're going to go on gold and, you know, and I'm all for all these things, but I watch how people, you know, they're holding on to these concepts going, when is this going to happen? And, you know, this grasping for the world to make us feel better inside is a mistake in direction, because I'm doing my integration work, meaning Dakini has left me, I have chosen not to fill the void, and I'm sitting with feelings of being alone, having extraordinary moments and having extraordinary painful moments of missing her and crying and accepting that she brought a great deal of love to my life, and that love can't be just replaced because I buy another cat. I'm going to honor it as a sacred relationship, which, see, is taking it to a whole new depth that unless I sit with that uncomfortableness, I won't have that depth. And while I'm sitting with this uncomfortableness, I'm not saying, when is the financial thing going to happen? It's like, it's already happening inside me. Change is happening.
I get what you're saying. Because
I'm not allowing it to run my choices. I'm becoming sovereign, and in that sovereignty, taking care of Jeannie is literally, I am making more coin than I have made since my drug dealing days. I mean, that's crazy, truly crazy. And I'm telling you, truth be told, when Jeannie and me aren't dealing with shitstorms or anything, I mean, she's downstairs watching TV. I'm on the computer talking to all you guys. I'm making big money, and I'm doing my job. I'm not out of integrity. I'm there making sure that she, you know, if she falls down, I'm there. If she gets hurt, if she needs, you know, whatever assistance she needs. So it's like, you know, I look at that and I laugh. I go, why did I run so hard and so fast from this? But I'll tell you why I did that. Because my mother took care of my father's mother. Now, and here's here's the timing and how this all comes full circle. My mother took care of my father's mother for 10 years. My father promised to pay my mother $1,500 a year for every year she took care of my grandmother. He never paid her. And in all honesty, my mother didn't have the balls to tell him to go fuck himself and leave.
Right.
You know, I basically, to that effect. Put up or I'm done. Wait till the end. It's the end of year one. Give me my money. I mean, and it was so funny because my mother had passed when this whole situation came up. And, you know, of course, I've been a paid caretaker, so Scott paying me wasn't a great stretch. I mean, when you go from a nanny to taking care of the elderly, it wasn't like he was going to go, you're going to do this for free? You know, it's like he wouldn't even think to say that. So he pays me. But I remember having an essence and a vision that my mother was so proud of me, and she could feel multidimensionally through time and space, she was healing because I was making the choices she wanted to make but didn't make.
Well, I like that.
You know, it's like, it was so, in fact, you know when I got that? I got that on the day of my birthday when Facebook, I'll tell you, spending your day on your birthday on Facebook, I've seen a few people say they do it intentionally, and I totally understand that. The wave of energy that comes from Facebook on the day of your birth is such an extraordinary feeling, because I remember my mother telling me on that day, she was like, all the love that they're sending to you, it's coming through to me.
Yeah.
You know, this is the communication that, who's talking about this? And I know alternative shows like the one we're doing tonight and, you know, are talking about it, but you know, the key is now as an audience, from a participation point of view, who of you out there are really embodying this information and living from that truth? You know, if you get ridiculed for it, still choosing the commitment to say, listen, I know I'm a multidimensional being. I can affect multi-levels and multi-dimensions through intention and through true gratitude and my true feelings. And this is not about denying our anger and denying our shadow sides. Quite the opposite. It's about actually completely owning them and saying, you know, I am that, and I am victim and perpetrator that is going on in Gaza and Israel right now. I mean, shit, I'm Jewish. And I know a lot of people hate the Jews right now. And I own that, you know, we're doing really nasty things. And I know I've done really nasty things in this lifetime. I know I've done them through meditations. I have done some significantly nasty things. Significantly, you know, raiding villages, raping women, children. I have not done that in this lifetime, but I have had visions and know that I have done that in other lifetimes. And I own it. Why do I own it? Because it's the only way to essentially become whole. I have to, if you don't own it, pieces of yourself are out there, and the integration is all about becoming oneness in self.
Well, and you're able to own it. You know, I mean, there's a real difference between, you know, kind of having it in the distance and saying, this is something I should be doing. I should own it. But when you actually do own it, it's different. And it does affect across the
board.
Well,
you got to feel it when you own it.
It does affect generations. It does affect environment. You know,
absolutely.
It's much different. Absolutely. I mean, that is a subject that I really find fascinating and real. That you know, like when Scott, I said to you, Goldie, it'll be interesting to see when you go home and Scott's mom heard singing by you, and she said that, I said, it'll be interesting to see how Scott is, and he really was. He really was
different.
Like more open. He was more open. He was more empathetic to you. He was really
absolutely
understanding. He was really understanding, as I recall. And so, you know, that
absolutely.
And I love, you know, moving towards sovereignty. Sovereignty, true sovereignty, isn't shakeable. It just isn't. It just is true sovereignty. And this
exactly
is when we're able to own it all. You know, it's not selective owning. It's not like, you know,
exactly,
that part I like and that part I don't like, and, you know.
No, that's a brilliant point, Janine.
It's
yes,
a full ownership. And then kind of like, whoa, is that how sovereignty feels? You know, and it's like, it is. It's really different. I mean, it's
really different.
Right.
And
so,
it's empowering. It's empowering to the nth degree. Where the matrix disempowers us, sovereignty is the solution to the matrix disempowering us. And it's not about fighting the matrix on the matrix's term. It's about literally going beyond the matrix, underneath
right
the matrix. Because I always say, it's like the matrix sits on us, and underneath the matrix in quietness, underneath the matrix in stillness,
mm-hmm,
within us are these enchanting energies that
mm-hmm
that can literally, you know, I want to read something from, before
sure
this is over, from Dr. Emoto, who is the gentleman who wrote Hidden Messages of Water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a quick little paragraph. So he goes, since water makes up, he talks about how, you know, the water makes up 70% of our body. And further down he goes, since water makes up our bodies and souls, when we do not treat it with love and gratitude, Dr. Emoto writes, the number of people suffering from physical illnesses will not decline. Words are an expression of the soul. Water reflects our soul. When we are filled with and exude anger and frustration, the water inside us brings us sorrow and pain. Water in large freezers reacts the same way when that anger and frustrations are turned against it, sending us a clear message that by not turning into beautiful pieces of shiny crystal, the water is not accepting the manner in which we treat it. People, Dr. Emoto says, have identical reactions.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
I was like, Because here's what the Matrix wants. The Matrix wants us fighting with each other.
Yeah.
That's what it lives on, us fighting with each other. When you're doing integration work and owning everything as the self, you're not fighting with anybody. If anything, the way I look at it is, I can get significantly beat up by my own shadows. But when I don't fight back and let them do their thing inside me, I have one answer to them always. This is home and you are welcome here. This is home and you are welcome here. So they come in angry, bloodied, you know, raging, insecure.
Are you talking to yourself with that dialogue?
This is me talking to myself, yeah.
Okay, right.
When I go through, like, you know, the experiences of Dakini, you know, the first knee-jerk reaction is, fill the void, I need love, I can't live without love, who am I going to be without an animal or a physical being loving me? And it's like, you know, and then the voice of my soul comes in, goes, one day at a time, Goldie, one day at a time. And who am I? I'm a person who cries a lot. Who else am I? I'm a person who feels very sensitively to sitting in the forest and watching the squirrels jump from tree to tree, exactly the same way electrical impulses jump from synapses in our brain. You know, it's like all of a sudden the natural world shows up so much more when I'm not distracted by, quote-unquote, what the Matrix keeps telling me to fill my life with.
Right.
You know, and if I didn't have the courage enough to even know I could make it through, I would have, you know, I would have gone to the shelter and bought another cat, you know, the next day. And yet, at this point, I know I'll have another cat in my life. When the time
organically,
it will show up as it's time. However, and so it's not about saying I never want a cat in my life. That's not what I'm saying. That the organicness of experiencing life just where it is right now is it's just priceless. You can't even put a value. There's no value that the matrix can't buy this for me. It can't sell it to me. Because it is literally pieces of myself coming back into myself. And as I become whole, when the rest of the world is literally going crazy, we have 90 seconds, and everybody in the chat room is going to hear blank. Me and Jim will probably take about another 10 minutes to close. So if you guys check back on the archives, as soon as we end the show, the archive will be there. And if you want to hear the last 10 minutes, you're definitely welcome to hear it. Appreciate everybody being here. Your energy was exquisite for tonight's show. Mandy and Dennis and Joe and Janet and
yes,
everybody.
So
I don't
much.
Even know who's here that is, you know, on the phones or through other means that are not in the chat room. I think Stacy might have come today. A lot of people are here. I love you all. It was an amazing show. It was an amazing show.
Thank you so much. And just what is your relationship to water? And it could be a great, you know, it's just kind of just let it happen and see what happens and let us know. Let us know what your
relationship
with water is.
Definitely. And if you have ideas for topics on shows, let either one, me or Janine, know about that too, because I would love to share. If there's something you guys want talked about, you know, let us know, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Ask the question, and then it's like a wondering, and then we'll let a few, you know, some time. We'll let some time pass and see what happens. It could be. It's just very fun to do that.
And that can be done. Yeah. So we love you all. I don't want to end the show just on a rushed note, though. So
sure, of course.
Yeah, because I you know. You guys are fantastic. This was a great show. Somebody said do one on fire. We could definitely do that. I know.
How about this? What is your relationship with fire?
Okay. Well, maybe we'll end up going through the elements. That would actually be
Right.
Right.
Well, definitely.
Done.
Sounds good.
I know.
Sounds good.
I realize it's like, well, you did just kind of end the show now, didn't you, Goldie?
Is the show done?
But okay,
is
wait.
Done?
Before we end, and first of all, thank you. Thank you, Angelus, and thank you, Dakini. No doubt.
Thank you, Angelus.
I felt both of them
and
here.
And Dakini, sweet Dakini. Yeah.
Yeah. Our little shamans. You know, there are two of them, right? Angelus and her are both our guides and our shamans and
definitely shamans
and our emotional
and,
strings.
Yeah. And they were so wise they didn't even have to say they were shamans.
No, exactly.
They just
act like them. Exactly. They just were. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I like to call them shamans, you know, because
people
know that.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you to Janine Kimmel for sharing her vulnerability in a way. I'm so proud of you, Janine. There's so much happening in your life, publicly and privately.
Thank you,
Goldie. I'm very excited to watch you blossom. Nothing pleases me more than to watch you blossom. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
A blossom surrounded by hummingbirds.
Exactly. And herons and hawks and chipmunks and squirrels.
Absolutely. Blue jays. Thank you. And thank you for the show tonight. It was, I smiled a lot. You couldn't tell, but you were talking and I was just absorbed and listening and it was great.
I can't do my work without you. I'll be honest with you. I've tried. There have been others. They were artificial.
All right.
The
well,
authentic
thank
is
you.
You. No, you're very, I thank you for sharing conversations with Golden Hawk and being just beautifully you. You're so humble. You're so good to me. So mm-hmm. good to me. I'm so grateful. Always grateful for my Janine Jellybean. Yes. So thank you, everybody. I think we have posed the question, what is our relationship with fire? And, give us a few weeks. We're going to have our experiences.
Yeah.
And I believe since reading Robert's work, Janine, we're definitely, this actually is very in alignment with some astrological stuff going on. So,
okay.
We're on point. Yeah.
No, I love that. I like that. I like the way that happened. That was beautiful and very, water took us to fire. That's great. Mandy asked that, right? So that's great.
Mandy did ask that. So right on.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
And Dennis basically said, do the five elements. I mean,
yeah,
and
that's,
I'm like,
that's
you
a
know
great
what?
Idea.
I mean, it's very mystical Mother Earth, isn't it?
It is.
I know. I love it. So, what do you have something coming up or share? You know, you have two amazing books. Please let the people know where they can reach your books. Absolutely.
Sure.
And your therapy work.
Sure. Thanks. Well, I have a website. It's my name, but it's jlkimmel.com. And that's my website. There's a contact on there, and you can email me. Or you could find me on Facebook, Janine Leighton Kimmel, and you can just find me as Golden Hawk's friend. I'm in there. So either way, send me a private message, say hello. And my books are on there, too, The Magic Gown and The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. And there's lots of great enchantment in those books. So thanks, Goldie. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And in tribute to my beautiful kitty cat, I downloaded the song that I heard today when I first got in the car because this really embodies my relationship with Dakini, and I've decided that I wanted to dedicate this show to her. And I love that, and to Angelus as well, because I promise
Thank you,
if you stay and
beautiful.
Listen to the song, you'll – Yeah, it's a beautiful song. It's totally an expression of our love for these great mentors, friends, family. So thank you, everybody, and we'll be talking to you guys again soon. All right, let me...
Good night.
Good night. There's the humming.
Yeah.
Yes, beautiful.
Sometimes I get a feeling deep in my heart. It's such a feeling that I know you'll never part. She brings me love. I know it's all that I need.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes sometimes I get a feeling, wanna leave me alone. Sometimes I get a feeling deep inside. It's such a feeling, my love, I can't hide. She brings me love. I know it's all that I need. Love.
Good night. Hi. Good night.
You're too much.